Speaking of great hair, Jerry's hair is something else. We're about to speak to a guy with the Hearst hockey hair going.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have Pierre LeBrun on the line?
Yeah.
There he is.
I haven't cut my hair in, I don't know, since February 10th or something.
It looks amazing.
Is it a mullet?
You lie.
No, it's good. Like
I've seen
an old school left winger that just trolls down the wing.
I got the old Kings 1990 mullet going for sure. I'm not going
like
to deny
it.
That.
I'm on board with it, man. I'm with you, man. I haven't cut my hair in months, and I don't intend on cutting it anytime soon. We're not in the studio, so it doesn't matter to me.
Hayes looks like Neil Diamond.
I do. Some guy sent me one of the Bee Gees. He's like, you look like...
You do look like Andy Gibb.
Yeah, I look like one
or
of the
Barry
Gibb brothers.
One of the,
Barry.
Yeah, one of,
hey,
yeah.
Barry was a stud. Shout out to Barry. All right,
that's
Pete.
True.
So how about that, the Rangers? How was it rigged? Explain to us how it was rigged for the Rangers, Pierre.
Well, there are people that are going to think it's rigged because, I don't know if you noticed, probably hard for you to do because you're doing live radio, but when they were doing the segment on NHL Network, the guy from Ernst & Young who was putting the ping pong balls into the machine, and Gary Bettman had to declare each logo accurate, when he grabbed the Rangers ball, he inadvertently dropped it in the machine before holding it to the camera and then had to go back and get it.
Oh, what a shock.
So, wow.
What a conspiracy.
So people are, yes, you know where that's going now. Well, come on. I mean... Yeah.
Jimmy Dolan.
It's obviously not rigged. And really, in the spirit of what has turned out to be, you know, not a great setup, I mean, I don't think the league should have done it this way. You know, the Rangers were 11th seeds. I mean, they are in a rebuild. It's not the worst result. I mean, honestly, in terms of fairness, you know, I'd probably argue that, you know, Minnesota, which is headed for that and has never had, you know, that high a pick, I mean, maybe that would have been it. But in the scheme of avoiding Edmonton, Toronto, or Pittsburgh, the three teams that would have made Twitter melt down tonight, probably not a terrible result with the young Rangers team.
Oh, and a great market, right, for a first overall pick.
Oh, man.
It's exactly like if the NHL, that's more the jokes about the whole rig thing, is that's where I would want to send them. You need the Rangers to get cooking.
And what
you know?
About the kid, Brian? You know how jacked he, like, he's like, I'm going to Manhattan to start my NHL career? Like, come on.
And they're not a brutal team at all. No. I mean, he could be riding shotgun with Panarin next year.
Yes.
That might be all right.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's right. Well, and you've been all over the Leafs and their compensation, so now they had the 13th overall pick to Carolina. How bad has the past 24 hours been for them?
Yeah, and I was debating whether or not to put that out last night because I know that Leaf Nation was melting down, but it's pretty pertinent. I mean, you talk about the Carolina Hurricanes making a calculated decision. Now, they could have never envisioned having a pick this high. But they had to, and I know this for a fact, when they made the call last June at the draft to acquire Marlowe and Tom Dundon, who's, you know, pretty tight on the purse strings, make the decision to do the buyout on Patrick Marlowe, what they were arguing internally as an organization is how much is a first-round pick worth, like, you know. And, boy, 13th overall, as it turns out, money well spent by Don Waddell and the Hurricanes. Now, again, they're fortunate that they get sort of this weird setup this year with the pause and the qualifying round and the Leafs losing out. But, you know, had the Leafs won the lottery, they would have had the Leafs first-round pick next year unprotected, but this is a much better result for Carolina, no doubt, and it stings for the Leafs. I mean, that's a pretty good hockey player going at 13, likely the way the Hurricanes draft.
Yeah, I mean, they always say it. Apparently, it's a deep draft. We'll find out. We'll see what happens 3 or 5 years down the road. Maybe Carolina flips the pick. Maybe they feel like it's house money and they can trade it, and you know, they're in a pretty good spot as an organization right now to begin with, so they don't
although
even
their first round pick went to the Rangers in the Brady Shade trade.
Right.
I don't know that they would want to go without a first.
Maybe not. Yep. Right. No, maybe not. But you know, we've been discussing the Leafs obviously all afternoon, and where do you see them starting this venture this offseason? Where does Dubas and Shanahan sit down together? Let's say they go out for dinner tonight, patio, of course, social distancing. And they just say, what are we going to do here? Where do you think the conversation's going to start, or where does it have to start?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Shanahan, because as I was going through all the different scenarios for the Leafs today, sort of decompressing, you know, trying to do it in a very detached way, as we should, I wonder if he doesn't get more involved than he has been. You know, he's a guy who has won numerous Stanley Cups, and he did so on teams, and I know it's a different era and the game has changed, but he did so on teams that had a balance of all-world skill, but also, you know, the necessarily other elements that Columbus has plenty of that made a difference in that series in my mind. And, you know, I was talking to, you know, a former player today who made that point again. And I don't want to make it in a knee-jerk way, but to me, it's just so apparent to me, when you're covering a St. Louis-Boston Cup final last year, and it didn't matter who would have won that cup because both teams brought plenty of it, the level of physicality involved in that series combined with tremendous puck possession skill, like you need both, not one or the other.
No kidding.
But that was such a heavily played series, and a year before that, the Washington Capitals, if they weren't beating you in the alley, they were beating you in front of the net, they combined their high-end skill with their heaviness as well. And I know there are more than one ways to win a championship, but that lesson has to come through in my mind. I mean,
that's a facelift, Pierre, though. That's not one player. That's multiple transactions. And Jamie said earlier in the show, you can't bring in quality players. And the Toronto Maple Leaf, Joe from the Bridge Theory, is, well, yeah, trade a seventh-round pick for...
Roman Josi.
Yeah, it's nuts. So it's like, it's a big job. It's scary to think that we're talking like that at this particular point of this Toronto Maple Leafs team, that it's a big job.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, to me, you know, Nylander is an easy way to at least dip your toes into it because you know you have a lot of skill and there would be a lot of interest in him. They also have guys coming off the books, which will help. They also have this other element, and I'm sure you guys have touched on this, but I feel league-wide it's been not touched on a lot, is that there are so many people focused on the fact that the cap is frozen, and that's going to create a lot of difficulty for a lot of teams. It's not just that the cap is frozen. There are other teams, because of the financial hardship of the pandemic, who will have a number that's different than the cap, much lower. And I'm telling you right now, there are players that are going to be made available in the fall that you would not have thought of.
Yeah.
Because of the financial hardship in real life. Never mind the cap, in real life. And that's where, if you're looking for some silver linings today, it's still a very good Leafs team. I think MLSC can exploit, frankly, what could be more of a have and have not NHL dynamic here for the next couple of years. I think Montreal hopes to exploit it. I think the Rangers will try to exploit it as they keep building their young team. You know, it'll be an opportunity for some teams, but not all, because of the realities that we're living in. So that's one thing I would say to keep an eye on when it comes to the Leafs.
I don't know if you remember this, and I am not trading William Nylander. Like, I'm not trying to advocate for it, but do you remember when he signed and he said Kyle told him he's not trading him?
Right.
Like, that's the only thing I can think of when I hear people saying, well, Nylander's got a, you know, would be an attractive piece. Would Kyle, I mean, this is a scenario where Kyle's got to do what's best for the team and not just do, you know, when you're signing a player, hey, I'm never going to trade you. Like, if Nylander's the guy that they deem has to go, he would be the guy. Like,
Of course.
I know, but I'm not. I'm just bringing up do you remember what William Nylander said?
He said it, absolutely. Yeah, which, if that was true, I mean, that at the time, I remember thinking, wait a minute, this guy just sat in Sweden for 4 months, then you gave him the deal, and then you guaranteed you wouldn't move him?
Yeah, like, but it's not guaranteed. I mean,
of course not. It can't be.
But it's not in the contract.
No, exactly.
So,
right.
I don't know. I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers once told Jeff Carter they weren't trading after signing him, and then he ended up in Columbus.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan. There's a lot of examples.
So, I don't know. It's a big boy business.
Oh, it has to be.
You're right. You're right.
And I think, honestly, this, and it's not Nylander in particular. It could be anybody.
Right.
But there's a part of me that wonders, you know, Shanahan, who you just mentioned in his history, if he realizes he's let this go too far with, you know, going from Lou and what that was all about with Lou and Babcock to where it is today.
Right.
Where it's just the players are kind of just doing their own thing, and they all got paid, and I wonder if he's thinking, I got to snap these guys back into reality. Like,
right. You
guys don't just get to determine that you play here the rest of your life.
No, like, and I think there's some real I think there's some real truth in what you just said, Brian. And listen, I think that the team was a lot more comfortable after, you know, the way it ended with Babcock playing for Sheldon Keefe. And I think Sheldon Keefe is a good coach. But there is that feeling that you've given the keys to the kingdom to a bunch of young players who haven't won anything yet. And that some of that has to be earned. And so where is that line between where Babcock was and where perhaps Keefe is and needs to be a little harder? I think that'll be part of Sheldon Keefe's own self-diagnosis here in the offseason. He's a sharp guy. I tell you this, some of the, you know, the shots taken at him in the last 24 hours, I think have been a little over the top. I think he's brought this program along, you know, pretty well, given that he took over after the year had started. But again, he's got to get better too. And, you know, it is what it is. He's a rookie head coach with a very young team still. And,
right.
You know, the thing I said last night on Twitter, and again, I'm not trying to, there's this reaction among Leaf fans of this incredible upset loss. It's upsetting because a team that Leaf fans want so badly to be among the elite has lost again early. But let's respect the Columbus Blue Jackets here. They had 81 points in the standings at the pause, just like the Toronto Maple Leafs. They just happened to be made up completely differently in terms of their style of play and their roster right. makeup. That's not an upset. Columbus did not upset the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was a toss-up of a series. It played out that way. It just stings for Leaf fans because it's the accumulation of the last 4 years. But the idea that losing to Columbus is unacceptable is a little rich for me.
Not unacceptable, but they were supposed to beat them. I understand they're a good team. They work hard. But no Duchesne, no Panarin. Bobrovsky leaves. It's just they're
the way you win game four, you'd think, you know, that's right. a spark where it's like, okay, we're alive. We shouldn't be. Let's go. We're playing with house money. And last night, I thought it was a fairly even game. It was kind of just a, you know, like you said, Noodles, a chess match. It wasn't much of a game. It wasn't fireworks back and forth. Mm-hmm. It was just a game. It happened to be a do-or-die game. But it's, yeah, I mean, you're right, Pierre, of course you are, in terms of Columbus. And they dictated the pace of play and the style of play more so than the Leafs. And as a result, they move on. They deserve to move on. They don't have to make excuses. But it's the accumulation. Like, that's what it is.
Right.
And it's not just
for sure,
4 years. It's not just 4 years. It's 15. They haven't won a playoff series in 15 years, Pierre.
Right.
And it's the same thing every single year. There's been multiple owners. There's been multiple GMs, coaches, a whole new roster of players. Mm-hmm. And as I said at the start of the show, they're way more talented today, way more. And they're better today than they were years ago.
Well,
but it's still a very flat feeling.
It's easily, in my mind, the most talented of all those Leaf teams of the past 15 years.
Yeah.
But how much so, Pierre? They couldn't score a goal in the final game, and their three best players were on one line, and then when they changed it, what went out there? Sometimes I don't understand that comment. I know what
you're
saying.
No, it's true. That's a good point, though. Their big four are better, of course, than anything they've had in a long, long time. Beyond that, you can't tell me that the rest of their lineup is like Cody Ceci's playing on the top pair.
Yeah.
No,
like,
that's not.
It sounds like more appropriate comment is they have three really good players.
Exactly. They got way more top end talent than they have. The rest of it is still undetermined.
Yeah.
Right.
How much better it really is.
I talked to you guys early in the season about when I talk to other teams and I grant them the cloak of anonymity, what other management types felt about the Leafs, and it's actually played out. The year kind of played out the way a lot of those rival teams thought, which is super high skill but can't defend when it matters. I mean, that's what everyone thought.
Yep.
And so, you know, and obviously the Tyson Berry deal was not a good one, as it turns out. You got to take shots. No one's batting 1,000, but that was not a good deal at all, as it turns out, for the team. And, you know, maybe Nazem Kadri will go in his cup now with Colorado. You guys can talk about that. But, you know what, I still think that the good outweighs the bad with Kyle Dubas, but this is a big moment for him because the moment he fired Mike Babcock, he made this his stamp, his team, his philosophy. This is a gigantic offseason for him.
Oh, it's huge. It has to be because, you know, but what does it mean if Shanahan's getting more involved? You know, if that ends up happening, like you suggested it might, Pierre.
I'm saying I want to see that. I don't know that it will.
Okay.
I'm saying I think it's a time for him to do that in this offseason.
That would suggest to me
that...
And
he has done that. Listen, Brian, he's done that at times.
He's been heavily involved. He's been in the meetings. You know, he's been negotiating contracts. He was in the bubble, right? Like, this isn't, he's not part owner. This is the hockey team that he is working with. That's why he's directly involved. But if he does need to get more involved, I think we all would know why. It's because Dubas would need probably a push over the ledge as to where he has to change, you know? Because if he does, I'm not convinced Dubas sees this as massive changes.
Well,
he may look at it like, man, shooting percentage. Next year we'll get it, and we'll go on a heater. Well, he may look at it that way.
I'll step on there even more. Last summer, we talked, if Mike Babcock was going to stay, remember, the whole narrative is he has to change his approach, correct? Did we not? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that, that was a fair statement?
For sure.
And then when it didn't work out, like, to me, maybe this summer, the narrative is Sheldon or Kyle Dubas may have to change his approach to the way that he constructs his team. Like, that might come from above.
Right.
Brendan Shanahan may say, you know what, I've noticed that this team needs is a regular season. They're great in the regular season. When push comes to shove in the playoffs, they play like it's regular season, and everyone else plays like it's in the playoffs. Right. And we need more bite.
Like, well, and let's see who wins the cup. And, you know, copycat is not the way to go out at it as your number one attribute. But if you have a third consecutive year where a deep, talented team has combined puck possession skill with heaviness, I don't know how you can ignore that.
Pierre, puck possession skill with heaviness has been around forever, let alone the past 3 years. Forever!
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's just,
the Detroit Red Wings, they had skill, but you know what? They had heaviness, too. They had Darren McCarty, Chris Draper, Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah, Malby, for sure.
Chelios.
Yeah, it was. It's not like they were just out there playing shinny.
No, but I'm saying, you know, when you talk to teams now, what's happened most recently, there's definitely a recency bias. But the recency bias tells the same story, is what I'm saying. I mean, it really would, it just blew you away watching St. Louis Boston every night in the rink last night. You're like, wow, this is the type of hockey.
Ultimately, as a hockey team, as an organization, you don't want to turn into one organization. You know what that is? The Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
Why? What's wrong with them?
They're a joke.
Hold on. I'm just picking myself off the floor here.
And you're a joke and a fraud for being a fan.
A month away, buddy. A month tonight, the football season starts.
Well, I'm excited. January 1st, O-Dog announced he's replacing Bobby Mack with Dregs and I on the panel for insider trading. So that's
awesome.
He's got a big deal.
I had to inform people that they would never let me do that, and I'm not doing it. People were saying congrats.
It's so funny.
Twitter is such a weird place.
I mean, your trips to Europe with Rene Fasel, those have been big trips.
I mean, Bobby is going to hand over the keys, give me the contacts, the draft stuff, and all that, but I'm not doing it. I'm not doing the job. I got enough stuff on my plate.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. Not that I wouldn't enjoy it, but.
Pierre, focus on the Bucks this year. They're going to be a team to reckon with.
Ooh.
It's my new team.
I'm not giving up on the Pats.
Well, the Pats, I think they signed Lamar Miller this afternoon.
So just what?
Adding
half
depth to the backfield.
They're not even playing.
That's Belichick. He's got plans, man. Belichick's actually, on a serious note, like exactly what we're talking about. Now, they had the greatest quarterback of all time, clearly. But they rarely had all this flash. And generally, it was just a steady, offense, defense, special teams, well-coached, disciplined, go out there and grind. And they just won. And there'd be other teams you'd look at and say, oh, more talent. I like these guys. And they'd go 7-9. The Pats would go 13-3 and win a Super Bowl.
I think I know what team you're talking about there. But.
Yeah, you know exactly who I'm talking about. All right, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. The sun will come up tomorrow. Sounds good, man.
Yeah, it will. You got it. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider. Yeah, it's all good. Listen, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? This is. I'm actually just on a sappy note. I'm just happy that there were games and there's still games and sports are happening. Raptors are playing tonight.
Yeah.
It's August. You know, there was a long time during COVID. Like, I'm spitting. We're all spitting fire here.
I'm not trying to rip Pierre, Brian, but like the idea that a team was going to win with no heaviness, I mean, that's ludicrous. Like, heaviness has been around when guys were skating out there with no helmets on. Like,
no, exactly.
It's not like heaviness is this element that just popped up the last 3 years with St. Louis or Boston. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, No, that's it. Like, there are different forms of kind of heavy and determined and dogged.
Sidney Crosby's heavy, but
exactly.
He's one of the best players
right.
in the world.
Exactly. That's the point. And then on top of it, your skill guys have to have the bite too. They got to
sure.
have the drive.
And there's a line in Calgary. They're heavy, but they can score a goal. Dubé, Bennett, and Lucic. They were great for them in the play-in series.
Yeah, yeah. That's their third line.
That's effective type of heaviness.
But the difference is, guys, that line scored. So, like, you know, Jeff Ward could put them on the ice, not just to kill the clock.
Yeah, they scored goals.
They chipped in. Like,
all
that's where the Leafs fell short, is who they threw out on the ice that was not their big three consistently was not really an offensive threat. That's the disappointing part. Where, you know, Kapanen, I expected more from him. At one point, wasn't it game one, he had a breakaway and he circled back?
He didn't have a good series.
No, I'm not here to single out. What I'm saying is that group's depth, the Toronto Maple Leafs' depth, were not a consistent threat. Where other teams, I'm looking throughout the league, I'm not pointing at Columbus, I'm just saying I'm looking throughout the league and watching all these other teams play. Their depth was chipping in and was creating momentum and creating havoc. The Leafs didn't have that. And I think Sheldon realized that and said, you know what, to hell with it. I'm going to load these guys up and then try and kill some time until these guys get back out there. I don't know. I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, Noodles. You're right.
Yeah.
Like, that's the challenge they're facing. I mean, I think the heaviest lifting for this team has been done because of the top-end talent. You know, those are tough guys. Finding a Matthews is very tough to do. Finding a Tavares, a Marner. But it's everything else you still got to fill out. Those guys can only
exactly.
play so much. And,
agreed.
You know, that doesn't mean everyone's going out. Of course not. You've still got guys that you like and guys that,
right.
like, you know, maybe Ilya Mikheyev takes a big step next year.
Agreed.
Maybe Kerfoot, it was just a one-off, and next year he plays better and more consistently. Maybe Pierre Engvall plays like he did the first 15 games. You know, maybe. These are all things they have to figure out. It's all calculations, and part of it's guesswork and luck.
Agreed.
But there certainly have to be some upgrades and some changes, and there needs to be certain ingredients that are just added to the team. Like
yeah.
it's that simple, and we know that, and we've known it. We knew it before they came back. We knew that in February. We knew it in March.
Yeah.
We've been watching the whole year. Everyone's been watching.